Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports, and I'm Wally. We're waiting on my boy, Ray Jeezy. Will T is on vacation, but he'll be back next week. It's a beautiful thing. You know why? Because football season is right. It's like basically here. The Washington Redskins preseason starts Thursday against the Baltimore Ravens, and I can't wait. I don't know about all you. I don't know about you all, but I can't wait. Football is here. It just seems like, you know, we've been starving for a while, paying attention to training camp, the offseason, free agency, the draft, and finally, we're going to see football being played. Now, granted, I know a lot of people will say that it's the preseason, it's the first game of the preseason, and it doesn't matter, you know, because you're going to get individuals who probably won't make the team. But if you're a fan of your team and you're a fan of football, one, you should appreciate any athlete or anybody putting in maximum effort, you know, to show the world their talents. And you got a lot of those guys who are fighting hard to make it, you know, on an NFL roster. And if you're that invested in your team, you want to see guys, some of the young guys who want to push the vets, or some of the young guys that you hope to be the future. Being a Washington Redskins fan, like I was excited, you know, I was excited to see some like a Josh Dotson, even though he got hurt and he won't play the first preseason game. We'll talk about that later. But, you know, having that the opportunity to watch that kid play and see his growth, I wanted to see that. I want to see the young kid Allen out of Alabama. I want to see Anderson. I want to see all these young guys put it out there. I want to see somebody like Robert Davis, who, you know, came from a smaller school. And I want to see what he's going to do with wide receiver position. The kid has a lot of upside in terms of his build and whatnot. The kid came from Georgia State. So you want to see what he can do. So to me, football is here. I mean, I'm excited. I'm just excited as if I was watching Power. And you know, usually my man Will T is here. We talk about Power. But if you've seen Power last on Sunday, or, you know, how folks see a little early, maybe Sunday morning, depending on how you ride. I like what I saw with Power, you know. I mean, even though the kid, you know, Tyreek tends to kind of, you know, he's going through the motions and whatnot. I think Tyreek needs to man up, you know. His dad is Ghost. Back in the day, he was a hustler. He needs to understand that big house that he has is because of his dad. And he needs to kind of get over it. But, you know, he's a teenager and he's going through teenage problems. And that's what happens. But, again, if you don't watch Power, you need to. It's one of the best shows on TV. Will T and I always talk about it. I feel like we tend to promote for it. If they want to sponsor the urban sports scene, they can do so. But Will T is not usually here, and he always says this. So I'm going to do both parts. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here are our topics. The injuries of the Washington Redskins. You have Josh Dotson, who I mentioned, and tight end Jordan Reed. Both are out, and we'll miss the first preseason game. At 8:20, we will talk about the Redskins preseason game against the Baltimore Ravens and their depth chart. At 8:30, we will debate if Colin Kaepernick was in the NBA, would he be blackballed? At 8:40, we'll discuss if Vasiliy Lomachenko can become mainstream. And at 8:50, in our What's Beef segment, you know, tailored that thing, what's beef, we'll discuss the possible friction between Redskins cornerback Bashaud Breeland and head coach Jay Gruden. Excuse me. Right now I have my boy Ray Jeezy. What's up, Ray?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, bro?
Doing well.
That's good, man. That's good. All right, first off, the Washington Redskins, over the weekend, wide receiver Josh Dotson suffered a hamstring strain. Is this a big problem in your opinion?
Well, with the loss of DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon in the offseason, obviously you wanted to fill that void with Josh Dotson. So I think it is a loss, but the good thing is the Redskins know how to play without him.
That's true, but they do know how to play without him, and I agree with you. And to this point, you mentioned not having DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon. You're only now are going to have Terrell Pryor as your number one wide receiver. Back then, you know, you can rely on somebody like a DeSean Jackson or Pierre Garçon, and they played the wide receiver position for a while. Now you got Terrell Pryor. This is his second year as a starting wide receiver. And granted, you know, you like the potential you see, but this is another guy that you were hoping to replace, you know, those to help, you know, become a dynamic duo, so to speak. So I think it's an issue, and you want that guy to get rapport with Kirk Cousins in preseason in real games, because we all know in training camp you see the same bodies every day you're in camp.
Is it possible that this whole injury for Josh Jackson is being overblown a bit because it's him and because he missed last season? You got Trent Williams, who's out, right?
Trent Murphy.
I thought Trent Williams had an abdominal bruise, which is what I heard. Is that not accurate?
I have to check it out. I have to make sure.
And then obviously Jordan Reed, like we're going to get to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's more discussion and talk about Josh Doctson because he missed last season, which I get. I understand. But I feel as though at least the team knows how to perform without him, especially the quarterback.
Well, that's true. I mean, they didn't have him last year, so he's not as reliable. I mean, as say a Jordan Reed, which you want to talk about. Jordan Reed has a big toe. Has a nagging toe injury. He was on a PUP list, but it's still a scary situation because it doesn't seem like it's getting that much better. If he does miss games in the regular season, will that be an issue?
Of course it will, because he's a huge void to fill. But the encouraging thing is he was injured last season, right? Throughout the season, he still posted 66 catches with 6 touchdowns, almost 700 yards, which, you know, is, again, a good indication of how good he is and how capable he is. The season before that, he had nearly 1,000 yards receiving and 11 touchdowns. So, of course, it's a big void. But even when he's, you know, hampered by injury, he still produces and puts up big numbers, which is great. He's a bigger loss.
I think it's definitely the bigger loss. You do so much around Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed is a guy that, you know, look at Kirk Cousins' record without Jordan Reed. I believe his overall record without Jordan Reed is 1-10. We're talking about, you know, obviously you can arguably say that that Jordan Reed is the Redskins' most valuable offensive weapon.
Yeah, you can't argue that. I just feel as though right now it's so early that, you know, as fans, we need to be patient. We need to not worry so much about preseason. I know people say you can build chemistry, but I'll go back to your favorite reference, the fun and gun offense. Looked great, didn't it, during preseason?
Oh, looked awesome.
Danny Rojo looked like the next best thing. Now, obviously, that didn't work out, did it?
No, it did not.
So let's calm down. It's all over the league, too. We see Sammy Watkins is out with injury right now. Alshon Jeffrey just came back to practice in Philly. Travis Kelce, just looking at receivers and tight ends. In comparison to what we're seeing in Washington right now, everybody's a bit concerned about who's going to be playing during the regular season. But in the preseason, I think it may be a bit of overreaction. And you want your players to get healthy around this time. So let's wait and see.
But missing both of these players, is that a big issue, though, going for the offense? They miss both of these individuals.
It can be, but I believe the Redskins have depth with Vernon Davis and Niles Paul.
I'm not counting Niles Paul. That's an insult.
For you. But like I said, I believe the Redskins have depth. I believe that the organization believes in Jay Gruden's offense. Lex Diamond, a boy, is going to, you know, be on our Redskins podcast. Mm-hmm. Check that out. Fox Sports, 1340 AM. But he is the one that mentioned our last podcast is Gruden's offense. Going to work. Mm-hmm. That's a question going into the season. I'm like, should it be? In my mind, I was thinking that should it be, when I think Gruden has proven enough in this league between Cincinnati and here that he is an offensive mind. I want to say mastermind. Oh, I don't want to say guru, though. What's the right term, though? That he's a talented offensive coach?
he had a brilliant offensive mind. It's a beautiful mind.
Brilliant?
Yeah.
I don't want to go too far because I don't want to start arguing. I feel like we're having a good show so far.
Why? Because we're agreeing?
Pretty much. You tried me to begin like, hold on, what you mean it's not a loss, Josh Doctson? I stick with what I'm saying in that regard, but I'm not arguing though.
I'm not sure about Trent Williams. I'm searching that thing up. I haven't seen anything. But mate, where did you hear it from?
My sources.
Your sources. My man, he got sources.
I got sources.
He got sources. He's got sources upon his sources.
NFL.com, actually. I'll show it to you.
No, okay, I believe you. No, I believe you.
Okay.
You got the juice now, bro. This is Kirk Cousins' stats without Jordan Reed. And I mentioned it a little bit before. 1-10, his overall record without him. Completion percentage is 58.8. His yards per average, I believe, is 6.8. Touchdowns 16, interceptions 16. Rating, quarterback rating is 75.6. Now this is with Jordan Reed. 16-10-1. About 70% per completion percentage, averages about 8 yards per completion. 48 touchdowns, 19 interceptions, quarterback rating of 102.5.
Just validates what we've been saying. Yeah. Jordan Reed is
essential.
He is. What do you think? Because going back to Josh Dawson, what do you think of Kirk Cousins as a deep ball passer?
I think he's adequate. I don't think it's like his big thing. I think he's a decent, about average, slightly above average. Are you talking about arm strength or are you just talking about accuracy with the deep ball?
Well, because I'm thinking about Josh Doxon potentially being on a stretch of field. Mm-hmm. And
well, that's going to be Terrell Pryor's job, for real, for real.
Yeah, I can't disagree, mm-hmm. but I think Josh Dawson has that capability.
Of course,
shown in college, mm-hmm. Obviously it's the pro level. Because one of DeSean Jackson's frustrations last year and the year before was feeling like he was open a lot downfield, and you know, between whoever was at quarterback, including
Colt McCoy,
you know, he wasn't being found.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins has a safety blanket, and that's the thing. Like, DeSean Jackson wasn't his safety blanket. You know, that was a play that, like, DeSean Jackson did show a lot of frustration. Yeah. And it was more that Kirk Cousins was more comfortable going to Jordan Reed or Pierre Garçon. So, yeah, I don't know the relationship he's fostered with a Josh Dotson in training camp. So that's a good question. I'm not sure about that.
Put it this way. Picture the team full. No. No, we're not going to say fully healthy. Let's look at the team as is right now. Mm-hmm. Who are you going to go to if you're Kirk Cousins on third down? Are you going to go
healthy?
Are you going to go to Terrell Pryor? Are you going to
between the receivers?
Whoever.
Oh, Jordan Reed. It would be Jordan
Reed.
No,
I'm talking about right now as is. Jordan Reed's out.
Oh, you're talking about who's healthy? Got you. Because even Crowder's out now.
Because what bothers me is
I feel
as though the Redskins in the red zone and on third down. Struggled last year because they didn't have that go-to guy. Jordan Reed should have been that guy, but he was hurt at times. But it seemed like he was indecisive.
It's a little bit of both. I think that Kirk Cousins has issues. He likes to play it safe.
Too, right?
And the play call, I think it's a little bit of everything. Kirk Cousins, you have McVay at the time.
He wasn't here.
Yeah, with McVay exactly. Last year. The running game, it was a little bit of everything within the red zone. I think Kirk Cousins at times didn't take the risk of trying to make a play because he wanted to be safe, and that's understandable. Then you had the play call, and then you had the running game. So it was a little bit of everything. On Facebook, in the diehard Redskins family group, Robert Tony Berry stated, "I'm more worried about Reed than Doxson. I think we still have enough at the wide receiver position to compensate. Reed, though, is near irreplaceable as a very thin tight end position." You're talking about the depth, yeah.
Again, I don't agree with that because you have Vernon Davis and you got Nyles Paul.
Nyles Paul isn't really a great route runner. He's not a third down guy. Usually you think about your tight end guys, the guys who can get open on third down. Vernon Davis has shown it, and I think that's fair. Vernon Davis has shown it, and we saw him last year step up when Jordan Reed was out. So Vernon Davis has shown to have the ability to make plays and be an impact player. Now as Paul has shown flashes, but has never been consistent.
Well, potential, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure. What not a better opportunity to step up when a guy's hurt? That's what I'm saying. At least you have him. You know that you have now as Paul in addition to Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis has a history of getting injured as well. So you still have depth, in my opinion.
No,
I'm right. That's my opinion.
You like Nyles Paul.
The guy on Facebook is wrong. No, I'm not.
You like Nyles Paul. It's okay. You can like Nyles Paul. It's okay.
I'm not saying I like Nyles Paul. I'm just saying you have him. You said he's shown flashes. I agree with that.
Uh-huh.
And again, we're talking about a Gruden offense. You call him a brilliant offensive mind. Why can't Nyles Paul produce in a filling role?
I mean, it's a possibility. I just, you know, look at Niles Paul.
He's been hurt too. I don't think he's gotten a,
and that's not fair.
The greatest opportunity.
And that's another thing too, that you, injuries. He's bouncing back from a major injury. Who knows? Can he? Does, he may have lost a step. He may not be as good as he was earlier.
Well,
and that's,
he'll have plenty of opportunities. I believe in this preseason to prove it. And you start out with a pretty good defense up in Baltimore.
Decent. Well, this is the first preseason game, so
those same dudes ain't playing. Is always decent. Can we say decent?
Yeah, they're always good. I mean, they're always good. I like their defense. Okay, I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying that it's the first preseason game, so some of those dogs ain't gonna really be playing in the first game like that. I guess that's my thing.
Well, starters are gonna be limited. One, but yeah. Niles Paul isn't gonna be on the starting.
I know.
On the first team offense, unless I'm missing something.
No, he will not be on the first team offense. Okay. That would be Vernon Davis.
So you'll have him playing against backups, and again, if you ball out, then you give yourself an opportunity. Period. Rob Kelly is proof of that.
That's true. Now that's a fair assessment, Ray. That was a good statement. Now that's real talk.
I make good statements. Don't try to play.
Now that's real talk.
That is real talk. They're going because I said it.
It's time for a break. When we get back from break, the Redskins have their first preseason game Thursday against the Ravens. We'll discuss that. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene. For ages, you're not going to say?
You dig.
Deuces, thank you. You're listening to Urban Sports. See, I'm Wally here, my boy Ray Jeezy. Will T's on vacation, so hopefully we'll have him back next week. The Washington Redskins are playing the Baltimore Ravens in their first preseason game Thursday night. Which player do you have your eye on?
Sue Cravens, obviously, because he's the player who we're all looking at. He's changing positions. We know the ability that he's shown in last year. playing linebacker. Now going to what I feel like is his natural position, I'm excited about seeing him. The only issue I guess I have with that is he may be going up against Ryan Mallett, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
What, you know, I like Ryan Mallett in college, but in the pros he hasn't shown a whole lot. So I don't know how much of a measuring stick this will be for the rest of his defense as a whole. But, you know, that's the guy I'm looking at.
For me, you know, because the first preseason game is usually about some of the second, third stringers. The first stringers typically get a series or they don't play at all in the first preseason game. So I am interested in seeing the rookie out of Georgia State, Robert Davis, his brother of linebacker in Carolina, Tommy Davis. So I want to see him play, see what he can do. He's a guy that has really good measurables. When you look at the speed, the build, the guy's about 6'3". He's fast. He ran like a 4.4 in the combine. So he's a guy I kind of want to see. And like you, Ray, Sue Cravens is definitely a guy I want to see because he had to play. He's moving to safety now, and I think he needs all the work. To me, you don't give him just, you know, one series and that's it, you know, and treat him like a veteran, a vet or a guy who's been established at his position. You give him the opportunity to learn from his position in 2 quarters, probably, to me, because again, he's still new to the position. It's a position that he has the ability to really be dominant in. So, but he still needs time and he needs to kind of gain knowledge of that position. So to me, Sue Cravens is definitely a good one. Another individual I want to see is Bashaud Breeland. He's got a lot of negative flack from what Jay Gruden said about him, and we're going to play that later on. But Jay Gruden, they don't say Jay Gruden said anything about him, but Jay Gruden hesitated on a question. And, you know, from that point on, he's gotten a lot of, I want to say negative press about his play in training camp. So I want to see how he steps up. Again, I don't think he's going to play that much in the preseason. I think he'll play, I mean, in the first preseason game. But I do think that, you know, that first series, to see see the energy that he's going to provide in that first series he's in. I'm trying to think of another individual that I would like to see. What's another? Hey, the rookie, Allen. I want to see what Allen's going to do. I want to see what Anderson's going to do. So these are individuals I definitely want to see what they're going to do within the first game of the preseason. You have an opportunity to look at their depth chart, the Redskins depth chart?
No, I haven't. I haven't looked at it.
So one interesting part in the Redskins depth chart is you have Zach Brown. Zach Brown, and within the depth chart, is on the second string of linebackers, and that is absurd to me that Will Compton and Mason Foster are starting in front of Zach Brown, a guy who was up there in the league in tackles and when he played for the Buffalo Bills and one of the better inside linebackers, and he's even on a depth chart. Granted, I know that the Redskins, you know, they're coming out and saying basically we don't have any starters and whatnot, but still at the end of the day, to have Will Compton, or Mason Foster starting over Zach Brown, to me is hilarious. And I don't want to hear that it's just preseason and whatnot. I know that's cool and whatnot, but Ryan Kerrigan's not on the bench. We're not saying that Ryan Anderson is starting over Ryan Kerrigan, are we? No. But Will Compton and Mason Foster, even on the depth chart, is starting over Zach Brown?
For now. I mean, I don't think that's a permanent move. I think everybody's vying for a spot, right? It's preseason.
No, I agree.
And I mean, you earn that spot. It's just like Colt McCoy and Nate Sudfeld. I'm looking forward to seeing Sudfeld get on the field.
You heard so much about him?
Well, yeah. In addition to that, I hear that, you know, he may not stick around if he doesn't show any improvement.
Oh, Nate Sudfeld?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's. So, I don't think that's special anyway.
It's the same thing. You know, Will Compton, love him or hate him, he played hard last year and he earned his spot.
Yeah, but he's not
the greatest at his position.
But we're talking.
He misses tackles. But why not start him at the top of the depth chart?
But him and Mason, I guess my issue is him and Mason Foster are labeled as your two starting inside linebackers. Well, you got Zach Brown again, who was one of the best inside linebackers in football last year in terms of his versatility. And we have two guys who arguably on a number of other NFL rosters aren't starters. I guess that's the issue I have. Like, I understand, again, it's just a depth chart thing, right? It's just a paper or whatever. But again, we're not saying that Ryan Kerrigan is Preston Smith or Ryan Anderson is starting over Ryan Kerrigan. No, we're not doing that. We're not saying that Josh Norman is behind Quentin Dunbar or even Fuller at cornerback. No, we're not saying that either. We're not doing that. We don't see that either on the depth chart. But Zach Brown is behind Mason Foster and Will Compton. That is hilarious to me. I don't care what kind of message you're trying to put out there. There is no way that Mason Foster and Will Compton is remotely even close to Zach Brown. And you can stamp that any which way you can take it. You can, like, there is no way in whatever that should be possible. And even on Twitter, my man Dejan said, yeah, just having Zach Brown as a backup is ridiculous. And I agree. I just think that's something that shouldn't. I know, again, it's just paper. It's just a depth chart. And we can't just go off it. But probably when the season starts, Zach Brown's a starter. But again, I don't get the message.
Dude, it's preseason. Everybody, I'm serious. I've been looking around. This is one of them. You talk more about Mason Foster and
Will Compton
than anybody else. I've been hearing more about like Ziggy Hood and Stacy McGee. You know,
yeah.
Now they say Ziggy Hood is a good pass rusher, right? Solid, but he plays nose tackle. So how do you judge that?
Ziggy Hood's not even a real nose tackle. It's not even a real nose tackle.
I know, but that's where he's been playing. Like I just want to know. What can we take away from just this first preseason game? You know, not a lot when you're not seeing starters on the opposite side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, you can't take but so much. But again, I mean, I don't know. You got Phil Taylor. Like, I want to see Phil Taylor, too. I want to see what Phil Taylor's going to do. He's local. And he had success in Cleveland back in the day. And he's starting at nose tackle. You know, because the depth chart said so. It was funny because a lot of pundits did state that he didn't look that good in training camp, so I want to see what he does, though.
The Redskins should force turnovers, right?
Yeah.
That's the main thing, because you have a very good defensive line coach in Tom Sula, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have probably the most depth on your team at the safety position, okay?
Yeah.
DJ Swearinger, Sewell Cravens, who I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Will Blackman.
Mm-hmm.
Everett.
Yeah. The Shays out.
D'Angelo Hall.
Mm-hmm.
You got good depth. And potentially,
he's not playing safety. It's just not gonna happen. I know you've been wishing it. It's not gonna happen. He's just not.
I didn't even name everybody though. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You have depth to that position. Oh, mm-hmm. So how are you gonna mix and match that in the preseason? In this first preseason game? Excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're gonna have guys who are hungry, and ready to fight, and I think that's a good thing. In terms of you talk about depth, I think that's a good thing. Like I totally agree with you that. You know, in terms of the safety position, I do believe they have a lot of depth. And so only time will tell, man. But again, man, I have like that depth chart thing really annoyed me. Like, I was really on that depth chart. I know I always mention Will Compton, but I can't help it, man. Will Compton and Mason Foster are like special teams players playing inside linebacker. Like, you know, I'm just saying.
You can't let it go.
I can't, man. It's just like, I just can't see it. I don't see what, like, the coach staff sees.
When you don't like somebody, you don't give them a chance.
What's that?
And now it's Paul first, and now Will Compton. Amazing.
Now it's Paul.
Okay, this reminds me of Lorenzo Alexander. You didn't like him.
I didn't. Oh, no, I did not dislike Lorenzo Alexander. Now, I didn't think he was a starter.
He got in shape.
I never disliked Lorenzo.
He got in shape. And he played good football down the stretch, mainly on special teams.
Yes, he's always been good.
But he turned it around, though. You got to give people an opportunity.
See, that's not fair. Like, Lorenzo, it's not fair because I like Lorenzo. I like Lorenzo Alexander as a defensive end on a 4-3 and a D tackle. That's how I like. I didn't like him as a linebacker, outside linebacker. That's the truth. But I did not dislike him. I thought he was in the right position. He could be successful. I don't think Mason Foster and Will Compton could be successful. That's the truth. Yes. So that's the thing.
I feel like Mason Foster, you have an argument, but I feel like Will Compton, we know his ceiling and. He played hard last season, and earned his spot.
This is Will Compton. I'm smart enough to decipher what the play is. I can see it. I can call it. I can't make the play. That's Will Compton. That's Will Compton to me. That's what he is to me. He can get you in the right position. He can call it, but he can't make the play.
Is Junior Gallette playing this week?
That's another question. Well, he's. I mean, he can play. He's healthy. I think he should play. He's healthy enough. People want to see it. I told you, man. Junior Gallette is Bigfoot to me. Until I see him play, I don't believe anything. I hope he plays, and I hope he plays well. I mean, I'm a fan. I'm rooting for him, because anybody who's gone through what he's gone through in terms of injuries and fought to make it back on the field, I appreciate it. But at the end of the day, man, I want to see plays, though. I think all fans want to see plays.
Got to root for him. You rooting for Ryan Anderson, too?
Yeah, I'm rooting for Ryan Anderson.
Of course you are.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Ryan Anderson. I wish he can play inside linebacker so he can take somebody's job,
nah,
too.
Nah, man.
But he can't.
He's clearly outside
linebacker. I know. I said, I wish. You hear what I just said? I wish. But it's not going to happen.
So, with all that we're saying, what do you expect? What's going to be the outcome of this game? What can we take away? It is sort of a battle of the beltway thing, which I know you like to downplay when it comes to football.
But it's a preseason game.
Oh.
It's a first.
Is it? Not the way you sound about me.
No. It's a preseason game in terms of wins and losses. I always assess talent. I want to assess individual ability for the young players. Veterans, I don't really have to assess unless you're battling for a position. But other than that, it's the first preseason game. I'd rather.
It is. But you're going against the Ravens, who were not good last season, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be playing second and third stringers the entire game.
Agreed.
So, based on what we've seen from the Redskins, based on the depth that we're seeing right now on paper, the Redskins should come out on top.
I guess. I don't know. I don't really. Steve Spurrier, like against Steve Spurrier, blew out what? You just said it before. Steve Spurrier showed the best offense in the world in the preseason. In the regular season, that team was squat.
I personally do not put a whole lot in the preseason.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Quite honest. But we're talking about it. And the fact of the matter is, football is back. This is a football town. Yeah. You had a lot to the team left a lot to be desired last season after blowing a chance to get into the playoffs for a second consecutive year, which would have been big for this franchise. So we're eager to see the Redskins step on the field, whether you downplay it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not. I'm excited to at least get a chance to see some of the guys that we're talking about get on the field. Stuart Cravens, again, being my top guy.
Yeah, and only time will tell, like you said. But anyway, Colin Kaepernick. If Colin Kaepernick was an NBA basketball player, would he be blackballed? We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to Urban Sports saying, for ages. You dig? Deuces. Royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. Was born like this, is born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart. My DNA, I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine, and it's like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a. Your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish, I gauge. See my pedigree. Most definitely don't tolerate the front. Like Bizzou probably offend you. This is Barla's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead, redemption, scholars, fathers, dead, with kids and I wish. You listen to the Urban Sports team, myself, Wally, Ray, Jeezy. We'll tease on vacation. So you already know how it is. But we don't have the three man weave, but we're working on it though. We're gonna have it back again in the building early. I read the Washington Post and Rick Mace, I think I should say his name, Rick Mace, from the Post wrote an article titled, "If Colin Kaepernick Played Basketball, the NBA Would Embrace Him." So, if Colin Kaepernick was an NBA basketball player, would he be blackballed by the NBA? What's your opinion?
I'm torn a bit, and here's why. Based on my observation and based on just watching basketball for many years, first thing that comes to mind is Mahmoud Abdul-Rayouf, who recently came out and said Colin Kaepernick is going through the same thing that I went through.
Mm-hmm.
So, looking at it from that perspective, part of me says, yeah, Colin Kaepernick still will probably be blackballed, just like he's being blackballed now. But then I look at guys like Joakim Noah, who is very outspoken. You got guys like Dennis Rodman, very unique personality. You have I Can't Breathe t-shirts being worn in warm-ups. You have the Clippers turning their uniforms inside out to protest their former owner, Donald Sterling, when he made racist comments and more. And that seems like these guys between the Clippers and the I Can't Breathe t-shirts, I believe Derrick Rose is one that wore one of those t-shirts and many other guys, their protests seemed like they were embraced. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it depends on the issue, I guess. When it comes to politics and when it comes to beliefs, you know, guys are able to speak up for themselves in the NBA and seem not to get as much backlash as we see football players. And due to the fact that the NFL is the most popular professional league in this country, I think there's more of a microscope on them than it is in basketball. Colin Kaepernick, though, his star power, is it bigger than Mahmoud Abdul-Rayyuh? That's debatable.
Yeah, it is.
Guys like, again, LeBron James, who can speak out on social issues, that doesn't compare, but LeBron does it. And again, he's not, you know,
ostracized.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I really didn't give you a definitive answer. I'm just, you know, just talking about the topic and wondering what would it be at this point. I don't think there's a definitive answer. It's a very touchy subject because, you know, race comes into play, obviously. With Mahmoud Abdul-Rayyuh, when you looked at the fans booing him back in the day, it was mainly white people.
Yeah, it was.
White fans that were booing him. But you know what? I feel like due to the fact that you still have Caucasian stars like the Mannings, the Breezes, in football, it's more prevalent to have a white star versus Brett Favre. You know, the list goes on versus in the NBA. This is an African-American dominated.
Exactly.
So I think African-Americans are more accepted anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, what other sport are you going to see, African-Americans with tattoos, some with cornrows, get, you know, accepted the way they are? I mean, in society, you don't even see that. But these guys on this pedestal, Allen Iverson comes to mind. I mean, look, he was beloved.
Yeah.
So NBA, I think they have more opportunities because of those reasons. So I think Colin Kaepernick would probably not be blackballed.
If it's the NBA.
I think about it.
No, you could tell, like, in terms of society. In a Facebook group, I posed this question. It's called Sports Geek, Sports Geeks. And the same question, would he be blackballed? And this individual, Steve Kenner, stated, he wasn't in the NBA, he was in the NFL, and it doesn't matter. It's pie in the sky you're talking about. Dumb question.
That's a bit of overreaction.
Ain't it though?
It's just hypothetical. My goodness.
But you can kind of tell where he's coming from, just from that statement alone. If you can't get it, if you don't get it, then you can tell where someone's coming from. But my opinion on the matter is, I think, like you said, like I agree with you. I think that the NBA, because of the demographic and because of the openness of things and allowing people to express themselves. You mentioned Allen Iverson. He was allowed to wear gold chains and rock tattoos for a long time. Till I think David Stern tried to make the dress code change the image or whatnot for various reasons.
Throwback jerseys, yeah. You know, so, clothes.
Exactly. So you're allowed to express yourself in the NBA game. And you mentioned LeBron James and a lot of people making a stand about Trayvon Martin back then. So, and they did a lot of things, or a lot of suggestions, or I mean, they did a lot of things to show that, you know what, we're in support of this movement or whatnot. I mean, I granted it wasn't, you know, kneeling on the flag or whatnot, but still at the end of the day, we saw people copy Colin Kaepernick in the NBA. So in my opinion, I think the NBA is a little bit more open for letting their players express themselves. We've seen Mark Cuban even stated it. Mark Cuban said that, you know, we're allowed to do it, and we're allowed to have our players our players are allowed to express themselves. And then I believe that Jeff Van Gundy, who is with ESPN, an ESPN analyst for the NBA, stated that it trickles from the top. You have Adam Silver who embraces that, who allows his players to feel comfortable enough to know what we can. You are allowed to express yourselves, even on a social platform.
Yeah, in NBA, you have more of an opportunity, whether you're the first player on the team or the 12th man, you know? And I think that speaks to America in general, because if you look at a guy like Enes Kanter, you know, he can't even go to his country. He can't,
yeah,
go,
exactly.
Can't even go back to Turkey. Mm-hmm. So it speaks to America, the freedom that we have with our beliefs and our personal philosophies. But what's bigger anyway with Colin Kaepernick, which I don't have to go into detail, is really his play's been down, man. I don't care what anybody says. That's the biggest thing, because look at the guys who get opportunities. Michael Vick, you took – because his talent was overwhelmingly the driving force, and you saying, okay, well, I'm going to give this guy another opportunity. What I'm sorry for forgetting his name right now.
What team you play for?
He played for Carolina. He had the domestic issue. Then he got another
– McCants?
No. Then he went to Dallas, pass rusher.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about
Hardy.
Hardy.
Yes. He was so good.
Yeah, that's, we all know that.
Had to give him another opportunity. Colin Kaepernick has not been good enough to where you can say, all right, I'll bring him in with what all that he's going to
but
bring
the diff-
with
them. But the difference, you're right, though. I know what you're saying. But you're right. But the difference is the other individuals create, like, it was a crime. Like, that was a crime. Like, they were doing evil things. Kaepernick, but I do agree with you at this point.
Who was doing
teams?
Well,
Hardy was.
Hardy. Who else?
Hardy. I you know,
you
I'm
said
not.
They.
You said they. You know what I mean? I'll say this much.
The
Michael Vick. The Michael Vick thing. I'm not going to go to the route that I want to go with.
No,
what I'm saying is that the Michael Vick thing, in terms of society, they deemed it whatever. So how I look at it.
Oh, it is a crime.
Yeah, it's a crime. It's a crime. But you look at Kaepernick didn't his thing. What he did wasn't a crime.
Yes, yes, you're right, but in terms of it being a constant discussion point and a distraction,
I agree with that.
That's where I'm coming from.
I get you, but
the fact is, if Colin Kaepernick
was great,
was playing at a high level, he
totally
would be
agree.
On a team.
Look,
matter of fact, he would still be on the 49ers.
Look, this is please. Let's not play this off. And this is why I totally agree. Colin Kaepernick was elite. He would still have a job.
Absolutely.
He's not elite anymore. That's the issue. The issue is not elite, but he's
right.
Is he better than the? I think the issue is the what people are saying. Isn't he better than a lot of players in the NFL?
Dude,
yes, he is.
Let's be real. The only reason we're talking about this dude is because he's a black man and knelt on a daggone knee.
So true.
We're not talking about Johnny Manziel when he can't even get back in the league. He's about to turn to coaching.
He's horrible though. That's different though. He's never been good. He's never been good. You can't
in the league.
Yeah, he's never been good in the league. You cannot
he
like.
He didn't have.
We're not talking about. This is the issue. We're not talking about Rob Griffin III.
Same thing.
We're not.
We're talking about Cap.
We're talking about Cap.
Took a social stance.
Because you're lowballing Cap for players who suck. Like the dude Dan Orlovsky is horrible. He sucks now.
So does Cap.
But not like Cap. Like, no, Cap is better than RG3 right now. That's like, let's be real. Like, I'm not even, you know, RG3 is my dude, but Cap's better than RG3 right now. That's just what it
Listen
is. What
to
it
him,
is,
man. Talent speaks in character and perceived character. And that's a problem. That's what Will T would get pissed off at. But you know what? Well, I'm going to go back to him, and I'm sorry for doing this. But Jason Campbell wasn't the greatest talent, but you know what? He was a high-character guy and a guy that you would love to have in your locker room, right or wrong.
Yeah, he's a good character
And that's
guy.
Why he always had an opportunity up until, you know, his talent just did not suffice anymore.
Anyway, it's time for break. It's time to box him, man. It's time to go to boxing, man.
Look at Vince Young. He's not in the league. Why?
No, wait. You're dirty. You're dirty. Now you're just being mean. Now you're just flat out being mean. You messing Vince Young. And time for boxing.
I'm going to go hit stats, too.
Is Lomachenko ready for the big lights? We'll discuss at the break. Listen to Urban Sports Saying for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Stay.
All right, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here with Ray Jeezy. Will T's out. Vacay. Sweet to be on vacation, man. Will, that's what Will T's doing. It's on and popping, man. Three man, we be back in the building eventually. I mentioned Vasyl Lomachenko, junior lightweight champ, defeated Miguel Mariaga in 7 rounds over the weekend. He made the individual quit. What will make Lomachenko mainstream, like a Floyd, like a Manny Pacquiao? What, in your opinion?
Well, it's fighting the best fighters, obviously, and winning. And then also how he markets himself. And he took a big step in his offer to Conor McGregor to spar to prepare for Floyd.
Yeah, I heard about that. That was interesting. When you look at this dude is so skilled, man. He has the charisma. Now, obviously, he's not American. I think that always plays a part to a certain extent in terms of marketability, unless you're not like a knockout artist like Manny Pacquiao was back in the day. But he's so skilled, though. I mean, he's just skilled. He's a Floyd type of skill. Like he's a guy that can get out of his breaks real quick. He can counter easily. Hand speed is out of this world. Again, I guess the argument would be that he's only had 10 professional fights. He's 9-1 in professional fights. But when you look at the skill set from him, when you look at him, you see a guy that's just mainstream, has mainstream ability, a guy that should be a pay-per-view fighter instead of fighting. Pacquiao fought on ESPN, so it's not a knock. But a guy that when he fights on ESPN, if he fights on HBO non-pay-per-view, you're like, wow, we're lucky. We're lucky to see this. You shouldn't be able to see it. That's how special this guy is. So to me, he has all the ability. But I'm with you, Ray. It's all about who he fights. Now, obviously, he has Rigondeaux next. I mean, Rigondeaux is on his radar. A guy who's at least Rigondeaux 17.
I don't like that.
You don't like Rigondeaux?
No. Well, I don't like that as being his next opponent. I'm thinking move up to lightweight. Yeah. And fight Mikey Garcia.
I'm about to say the same thing. I like that too. I like fighting Mikey Garcia. I think that to me, I think if he moves up to 135, Mikey Garcia, that's pretty much his weight class. Mikey Garcia is thinking about going to 147. He stays at 135, and Lomachenko fights Mikey Garcia. I think that's the fight that could put him over the top and saying, you know what? Yeah, I'm pretty much a pay-per-view fighter nonstop now. Like, you won't see me on HBO. You won't see me on, I mean, I'll bless you on ESPN if I want to for the PVC. What's it called? What's that thing called again? Is it PBC?
What?
The fight. It's the Premier Boxing. Yeah. Oh. Sorry, PBC. Sorry. So you won't see me like you'll be blessed to see me on that type of network. But to be honest with you, like he shouldn't be fighting like on HBO. No, he should be a pay-per-view fighter. He's that good to me.
Well, I see where you're coming from. But you know that boxing is trying to get back to the days of Muhammad Ali.
Oh, yeah. I know.
On free television. To increase the popularity of boxing again. But when you're in the same when you mention in the same breath as a Terrence Crawford, who's also with Top Rank, you're not going to see Terrence Crawford fight on ESPN. So yes, he should be on pay-per-view as boxing is currently constructed. But as they evolve and continue to go back to a place where you can see these fighters, where people will have access to all the great fights, then I like what they're doing. But yeah, I want to see him move up to lightweight. And you know what? After Mikey Garcia's trainer called him out, what was the response from Lomachenko's camp? Hey, if y'all want us, call us. Point blank, we'll make it happen. And I don't think at this point he's worried about money. Like you said, 10 professional fights. But, you know, 2-time gold medalist, he's the truth.
He is the truth, man.
I really think that, you know, on this show, I wish Will was here because, you know, in our discussion recently with
Adrian Broner?
No. Why am I drawing blanks? He was just on our show.
A
couple weeks ago, Gary Russell. Gary Russell on. Will was saying, I do think you're the superior fighter. I think Will was sucking up a bit at the time. I can say that now. You know, looking back. But I don't think it's that obvious. You know, I would love to see those guys fight again as well.
Oh, me too. I think so too.
Right now, they both have different, you know, goals ahead of them. Although Gary Russell said, yes, I'm in my career in
fighting Lomachenko.
But Lomachenko is looking really good right now. Lomachenko's name is growing, obviously.
Yeah, it is.
So go for the Garcia fight. And if you win that, then the sky's the limit.
And so I posted this question on Facebook about, you know, what's going to get Lomachenko in terms of a mainstream on And my man Stu Leggett said nobody knows him for a reason. He never fights. He's a fan in Lomachenko. He never fights him. When he does, no one knows who he's fighting either. You know what I'm saying? He then goes on and on and blaming other people. Ringo will never be box office and never live up to the hype because he's all rigged out too. But he said that he only has 9 fights. I guess that's his main thing. 10 fights, but he only has about nine wins, I guess. Yeah. So I mean, I understand the argument of him having 9 wins, but he does. Stu also acknowledges that like he's an outstanding talent.
Well, yeah, of course. I think he's coming from a perspective of the sports world in general, or sports fans in general. Uh-huh. Yeah, maybe people outside of boxing have a hard time, you know, knowing who he is recognizing him, I should say. But those who watch boxing, those who follow the sport of boxing, you know Lomachenko is an up-and-coming star. And many think that he's going to be the best pound-for-pound fighter.
I think
his career is off.
He's close. It's close. It's really close. Also,
only 10 fights, and you're already saying that.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. 10 professional fights. It's amazing. Christopher Spoon said, the only thing I think of it is if he wins more title fights than anyone else has at his weight. He has a WBO featherweight, so unifying the titles. That would provide him mainstream attention.
I think he's already putting himself in a position.
Yeah, I agree.
Get the mainstream attention. Obviously, we're talking about him. If you Google his name, so many articles come up about how great he is. You don't see many critics of him. Which is rare, because even when guys like Roy Jones were up and coming, there was always critics, he doesn't fight nobody, this and that. This guy is the truth, and I think he's showing it. And the thing is, like we're saying, he's still early in his career. He only has room to get better.
I agree. Nobody's beefing with Lomachenko. You know what's next though, Ray?
Garcia.
No, what's beef? You know who's beefing now, dog?
Who's beefing?
Rashad Breland. Jay Gruden.
I got some things to say about that.
You listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig? Deuces.
The Commission. Uncle Paulie. P. Diddy. Cesar Leo. De Janeiro. Charlie Baltimore. Iceberg Slim. The Most Shady. Frankie Baby. We here. You know what beef is? Do you know what beef is? Do you know what beef is? Ask yourself. Check out this bizarre rapper style used by me. The V.I.G. I put my key, you put your key in. Money will be seeing. We'll reach the flip up ceiling. Check it. My calico bin cop. This rap Alfred Hitchcock drop top notch. Player hating gon' stop. This instant, rappers too persistent. Quick to spit. Biggie name on. Make my name taste like ass when you speak it. See me in the streets, your jewelry, you can keep it.
What kind of camp is Rashad having?
Breland?
Yeah.
Good, you know. He's doing good.
Anything jump out at you with...
He's such a competitive guy, you know. He gets in trouble sometimes. He's so overly competitive. But for the most part, I like what he's doing, man. He's doing his job and working at his craft, and he's working with a new defensive back coach, some new fundamental techniques, and some new coverages. So all the defensive backs right now are going through a little bit of a change right now. But I'm hoping that come game time against Philadelphia, we get it all squared away and they feel really comfortable. I think he's doing good.
Well, as head coach of the Washington Redskins, Jay Gruden, talking about Rashad Breland, a reporter asked him how was Breland's camp, and he hesitated.
This reeks Robert Griffin III.
Don't a little bit, though.
The way he is just does not seem candid in what he's saying. And it's so obvious. Like, I would hate for him to go with me and commit a crime, because as soon as they interrogate him, he's going to lose. Who, Rogers? Like, come on, man. You knew who they were talking about.
Exactly. They knew. He definitely knew. That was so dirty to me.
because as a matter of fact, Wally, I believe it was you at a press conference.
Here we go.
That asked a question to Coach Gruden about a Breland play that mirrored a Daryl Green play early in his career. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. And
the chase down last season.
And
he's all big play, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He was quick to answer.
Yes, he was.
He's BSing, and it's very quick. Don't do that, Coach Gruden.
All right, so following that.
Oh, Breland?
Stop.
Oh, big time. Come on, dude. You're cutting me.
Following that, on Monday? Yeah, on Monday.
That's for me, boy.
I know, right? On Monday.
We need that clip, by the way.
I know, right? We do need that clip. Jay Gruden had to kick Rashard Breland out of camp. Out of practice. Supposedly, he jammed Terrell Pryor a little bit too aggressively during walkthrough. And here's Jay Gruden talking about the situation.
Can you tell us about what happened with Rashard Breland and how has that been resolved now?
Well, it's been resolved, hopefully. They just had a little argument. Happens. So we just cooled it down and stopped the drill for him and let somebody else take the reps.
He's kind of an emotional guy. He's a passionate guy, but sometimes I guess it gets the better of him. How do you handle a guy, or what do you kind of talk to him about as far as his emotions and...
I think we're all emotional right now. You know, this is late in camp. I think people get a little bit emotional from time to time. It's no different. We've had some pushing and shoving with the linemen and defensive linemen and tight ends and outside backers. So it happens.
Going back to Rashard, you talk about the pushing and shoving. How often does that happen in a walkthrough?
In a walkthrough? It doesn't happen very often in a walkthrough. To be honest with you. But, you know, it does happen from time to time.
So... there you have it. Jay Gruden talked about Rashard's situation with Terrell Pryor. I don't think it's anything about Terrell Pryor. I think that's more what Gruden said to the media, and I think Breland was a little bit annoyed by it. And I think he is beefing with him to a certain extent.
I do think, to some degree, his response here was appropriate. It's camp. It happens. Tempers flare. But you know there was a scrum, a really serious one, in Seahawks camp already, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Where somebody got knocked down, a la Steven Davis, Michael Westbrook.
Why you got to do that, man?
I'm just saying, this is a DC DMV show.
I know,
right?
I get you.
It's comparable. Yeah, we're talking about the Redskins, right?
No, I get it. I'm just saying, I get it.
Hell,
I get it.
But Pete Carroll was so real in his press conference. Like, no, I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. I was not happy with the way things turned out. I was disappointed. So Gruden is not being, again, open and candid.
No, I don't think he is. I feel like to a certain extent he's to blame to a certain extent with Rashard Breland. Jeez. I think you keep that in the house. Like you don't like you said, you gotta hide a little bit better. You can't say, you know, you can't be BSing like that and say and hesitate. Who, Bree? Rashard? Like you can't do that.
Breland?
Oh yeah, Breland. Like and if that then did it right there. Don't talk about he has to work on XYZ because you already made him look bad when you hesitated on him anyway. Hesitation is the key. Hesitation is in anything. If you tell a chick, if a chick asks you, do you love me, and you hesitate, she knows it's off. She knows you're off. It's not happening. It's not working, okay?
Jay Gruden is a funny individual because it's so obvious when he doesn't like somebody.
It is.
You know, and then it's so obvious when he's flustered. You know, but I can think of so many situations where he just didn't handle it right, the media. Another one that comes to mind is after the Colts game, not last season, season before last, where people were just running free.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I got to clean that up in practice. Like, duh. Like dude, that shouldn't happen. You know, I get being politically correct, but right now he's just not good at it.
He's not.
He needs help. He needs a PR person.
He does.
Who is supportive of him?
I know.
Is it Bruce Allen? Who can help him?
Well, he has a PR guy.
Help the man.
He has a PR guy who's pretty cool, but yeah, he needs help. Like right. He needs help, like in the worst way. He needs. I mean, because he can't help. To me, he doesn't BS well. He just doesn't BS well.
Yeah.
Sorry, like it's not
for you, sir.
It's not like Coach Belichick. You know what I mean? But anyway, it's about time to wrap this show up. Good job, Ray. Appreciate you as always.
Thank you.
No problem, man.
Great,
no problem.
Great show. Forget the Nationals. They still won't let us come and cover the team, but it's okay because you're going to be forced to one day, daggone. You're going to regret that you declined Ray Rogers. Okay?
On that note, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. Lead us out, homie. Mega, lead us out, homie.